Dear Heavenly Father, help us to always praise you, to know you in this way, Lord, to count on the goodness of the Lord. And we're tasting that in our daily lives as we trust you. Father, how we praise you. Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And how we praise you and how we praise you and thank you for your word of truth. Pray your Holy Spirit would speak that word of truth to our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The blessing of forgiveness is being right with God. Isn't it sometimes how the most profound truth is just the most simple statement? And often it's the most obvious statement, but it's something that has been so obvious to us that we forget the impact of it. But just think of what forgiveness is. Forgiveness of our sins before a holy God. Being right with God. Not just right at this moment, not just right at this lifetime, not just right in the time and space of earth, but when we cross that threshold of eternity, right with God, when we're ushered into God's majesty, when we're brought next to our God who is a consuming fire, no worries, because of what Jesus Christ has done. We are right with God now and forever. Once you take that step of believing faith in Jesus Christ, once you receive his gift of eternal life, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Once we receive that, we are right with God. But as believers in Jesus Christ, many of us don't know and live this blessing, this tremendous treasure that we have of forgiveness. In an interview concerning the necessity of forgiveness, Dr. Fred Luskin makes this statement. We live in a culture that's stressed and angry. People are hungering for solutions. A corrective has to emerge, and the most complete, strongest corrective is forgiveness. In an excerpt from Mediating Dangerously by Kenneth Cloak, he answers the question, what is forgiveness? He says, forgiveness is not only a result, but a process of letting go of the past and opening to the future. It is a way of releasing ourselves from the past, from the burden of our own false expectations, and from the pain we have experienced at the hands of others. Luminata Savik says this about forgiveness. Forgiveness is the most powerful thing that you can do for your physiology and your spirituality. Yet, it remains one of the least attractive things to us, largely because our egos rule so unequivocally. Now, here's the interesting thing about Fred Luskin and Kenneth Cloak and Luminata however her last name is pronounced, Savuic. She's Romanian. As far as I could find out, none of them profess a belief in Jesus Christ. The two men especially, they've done much research and they're experts in their field, but as far as I can find out, there's no basis there. The word of truth, God's holy Bible. Fred Luskin, PhD from Stanford University, served as a director of the Stanford Forgiveness Project. Kenneth Cloak, a mediator and attorney, is director of the Center for Dispute Resolution. And Luminata Savuic, well, she says when no one's watching, she pretends to be a moon sprite. And her website is purposefairy.com. Now, lest you think I'm making fun of this woman, please don't take it that way, but I am going to make a point because she made a very powerful statement. Let me read that again. Forgiveness is the most powerful thing that you can do for your physiology and your spirituality, yet it remains one of the least attractive things to us, largely because our egos rule so unequivocally. So let me ask this. Why does the Purpose Fairy know so much more about the value of forgiveness than many believers in Jesus Christ. Somebody answer that question for me. Well, we're going to try to do that today. It's not a very good thing when people of the book, when believers in Jesus need to be schooled by a New Age moon fairy. And again, I'm not making fun of her. She's probably really a neat person. I read a little bit on her website, so I'm making a point, though. I think we understand that point. We've got God's word. How much more clearly can God tell us? Be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. And yet sometimes those outside of our faith seem to recognize the value of forgiveness more than we do. But you know, as we'll see this morning in our biblical text, this is not a new storyline. Would you turn with me to Luke chapter 7, verse 36? Luke chapter 7, verse 36. Luke 7, verse 36. Repentant sinners know the blessing of forgiveness. Luke 7, reading in verse 36. One of the Pharisees asked him, speaking of Jesus, to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, a woman of the city, who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's home, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Repentant sinners know the blessing of forgiveness. Repentant sinners are saddened over their sins. Now, I started to say here in this part, in my outline, I started to say sinners. Sinners are saddened over their sins, but no. Oftentimes not. In fact, sometimes we revel in our sin, repentant sinners. Can you imagine the challenge it was for this woman? I had a term I was going to describe her in the vernacular, but I thought it might be offensive to some of us, but Jesus is going to say later, he's going to say, your sins are forgiven and your sins are many. It says she was, what does it say here? She was a woman of the city. She knew her way around town. If she were here, she'd know her way around Tennessee Tap, and who knows whose bedroom she might wake up to on Sunday morning. Probably wasn't planning on going to church. But won't it be something as we see our story reveal itself to us? She knew God was there in that room. The religious expert didn't. We're going to look at his statements. We're going to identify he didn't know who he invited for dinner. The religious expert. You think he could have schooled her on forgiveness and atonement and sacrifices? And oh, he knew all that stuff. But he didn't know the blessing of forgiveness. He didn't know what it meant. Just these three words just rang through my mind this week. Right with God. The blessing of forgiveness. Right with God. And those texts where it talks about God exalting our Lord Jesus Christ, we're not hooked up to someone who's going to go out of office next year. We're not connected. You know, we could have a connection with a powerful political ruler, and they might be gone the next day or within 10 years. But no, Jesus, the name above every name, not only in this age, but every age to come. This Jesus that's here in this room, where was he going to be very shortly? Seated at the right hand of God on his throne. This is who we're hooked up with, folks. This is who we've trusted in. Right with God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And that should be a song in our hearts and minds from now and forever. Right with God. That God, I don't want to preach tonight's sermon, but it just happened. I didn't plan it this way, but we're in Psalm 8. And the psalmist is standing there and he's looking at God's creation and the magnificence and the just the immensity of God's creation. And he says, and yet you're mindful of us little old weak, frail humans. But he starts out saying, O Yahweh, our Adonai, O Lord, our Lord. That's the God who we are right with, the consuming fire. God, his love and his light, his holiness, and there's nothing between us and our Savior. Repentant sinners are saddened over their sins. Repentant sinners go to Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins. See, this is something else this woman had over these religious experts. She knew where to go, didn't she? Can you imagine the snickering going on when she came into that house? See, we just have this story. We're so used to it. Let me just go ahead and say it. And if I offend you, you tell me later and I'll try to be more careful. This slutty little thing coming in to this religious person's home. Can you imagine the comments and the whispering? Did she care? Did she care about those mean-spirited people? No, she was in the presence of God. She was in the presence of Jesus Christ. She was in the presence of the one who was going to make her right with God. Tears flowing from her eyes. It wasn't all sadness, so. Joy, great joy mixed in those tears. Right with God. The blessing of forgiveness is being right with God. Psalm 32:1. And I should just, well, it's on our sheet. Let me be faster than turning there. Psalm 32:1, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Romans, it's quoted in Romans 4, verses 7 and 8. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man or the woman or the boy or the girl against whom the Lord will not count his sin. Right with God. That's the blessing. That's the tremendous blessing that we have. Repentant sinners know the blessing of forgiveness. Religious experts, secondly this morning, know the math of forgiveness, but do not know the blessing of forgiveness. Reading in verse 39. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him, Luke 7:39. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, you just got to kind of chuckle, don't you? Just put yourself in the scene here, you know, when you're an actor and you gotta take everything in so you can put yourself right in that scene. So we're one of the people here. We're one of the players. Put ourselves right in. So let me go back and start again. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. Yeah, Jesus knew who it was. Yeah, Jesus knew that she was a sinner. Did you notice the religious expert who they can identify as sinners? They can identify other people, can't they? They can identify you. You're a sinner. They can identify this person and that person, and they may even be witnessing to someone, but that person knows what they think of them. Who didn't this man recognize as a sinner? Himself. Had all the teaching on forgiveness. He had all the teaching, had it all. He could see, woman of the town, dirty little thing. Just picture again for a little bit of perspective and put them side by side. Who was better, him and all his self-righteousness, and really probably had a really good name around town. Probably had a really good name. Maybe what we would call a good testimony around town. He doesn't even know who Jesus is. Doesn't know he's a sinner. Look at that woman. Not much good reputation around town, but there she is before the King of the universe, King of kings, Lord of lords, forgiveness of sins, right with God. Such a perspective, isn't it? Well, let me continue reading through verses 43. And Jesus answering said to him, well, first of all, the man said to himself, he said this to himself, he didn't say it out loud, he said this to himself, but Jesus knew what was going on, so Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you, and he answered, say it, teacher. A certain moneylender had two debtors, one owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? And the Pharisee, you can see, he gets out his calculator, okay? And Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. See, he had the math down, didn't he? Okay, you have two people, they owe money. One 500 denarii, the other 50. Just only a tenth as much. He cancels the debt of both. Who's happier? Well, I suppose the one who had the greater debt, I suppose. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. Now, you think the Pharisee got it yet? I don't think so. See, here was God in his life. Here was his opportunity. For goodness sake, he had Jesus over for dinner. Irony of ironies. You have the Son of God over for dinner. You have the Savior of the world in your presence. And you don't get it. And it's your field. It's your field. You're the Bible person. You've got the degrees. You've got experience. And I mean, they had it. The Pharisees had it. They didn't send off and get a clip something out of the newspaper and get a degree from a correspondence school. They had it, but they didn't have it. They knew the math of forgiveness, but they didn't know the blessing. Do we know the blessing this morning? Do you know the blessing of forgiveness? And just jumping ahead of myself just a little bit, knowing that blessing, how do we refuse that to the people around us? How I hate to hear those words from a believer, and I've heard them more than I've wanted to. I could never forgive them. Folks, I don't know, maybe I can direct you to the Purpose Ferry website and you can learn something if that's your attitude. Because that moon fairy seems to know more about it than some of us believers. How can we be filled with this blessing? Forgiveness. All my sin. Nothing between. Righteous before God. Right with God now and forever. How can we? It's like a drink of fresh water from the fountain of God. And no, you can't have it. I can't forgive you. You hurt me too much. Thirdly, this morning, repentant sinners who find the blessing of forgiveness love much. Repentant sinners who find the blessing of forgiveness love much. Verse 44. Then turning to the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house, you gave me no water for my feet. But she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss. But from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, let me just stop just a second. All these things were common courtesies that you would do for anyone. Their feet were dirty. You invited them, and it was common courtesy. He not only, he didn't worship our Lord. He didn't see the value of the Son of God being in him, his presence. He didn't see the opportunity to, he also come forward as a sinner before the Savior. He didn't even give him the least level of respect of a visitor. Verse 47, therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Her sins. Do you see this woman? Her sins, which are many. Jesus didn't say, oh, well, you know, she's okay. She's just, she, you know. Oh, her parents split up when she was younger, and or this or that, and she had and she didn't have this advantage, and go into all these things and make excuses. No, she was a sinner. She was a woman of the town. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven. It didn't matter how many. It didn't matter how many. Like, it doesn't matter how many of your sins, how many of my sins. Well, I've got a checkered past. I'm not going to tell you all the stuff I can tell on you, on myself. Many sins forgiven. I'm right with God. Now, it's exhilarating. It's right with God. It's exhilarating. It's thrilling. Keeps on going past this earth, forever and ever, right with God. Find my place. For she loved much. Her expression of much love shows. And then he goes on to say what? He said, for he who is forgiven loves little. He who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, it's like they don't learn, do they? Hey, dummy! Who is this who even forgives sins? She knew who he was. The religious experts. Wow, could have had a V8, you know? Who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. It was her faith in him. Her faith in him. Her believing that Jesus would do what she thought he would do. Our believing. What does God tell us? In him is redemption, the forgiveness of, through his shed blood, the forgiveness of sins. What does God tell us? We don't have to go to the Purpose Ferry website. We've got this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we've got all this stuff in here. Forgiveness with the detail, the power, the effectiveness of what Christ has accomplished at Calvary. And he tells this wonderful Ephesians passage. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Where is our excuse to hold grudges and resentment and bitterness and have harsh words? Where is our excuse? What website are we visiting? Can't be any clearer. Forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. You know one, I believe, that we just don't this blessing of forgiveness. That we're not exhilarated by it. We're not understanding. I think we don't forgive because we don't fully receive this forgiveness from God. We don't realize Jesus really did pay it all. You are truly, as you come to Him as a believer in Him, right with God. I believe if we didn't just know the math of forgiveness, if we also know and live in the blessing of forgiveness, that fresh water, that cup of water of forgiveness, that putting aside bitterness and resentment, of doing everything possible to live at peace with the people around me, would come so much easier because our perspective would be so different. I want to close this morning, and I've got some, well, here's the thought. What am I saying, or what are we saying? What am I saying when I refuse to forgive or to accept forgiveness? What am I saying when I refuse to forgive or to accept forgiveness? If I refuse to forgive someone else, what am I saying if I refuse to accept the forgiveness that God offers to me? What am I saying? Well, first of all, just get this right out of the way. You're disobeying God. I might say something like, put that in your pipe and smoke it, but it might sound a little trite, but maybe it would be appropriate. Don't dance around the issue. First of all, if you say, if you refuse to forgive someone, you can call it whatever you want, and we can make whatever excuses we want, and we can look at their sinfulness and the hurt that they've inflicted on us, or whatever, all we're doing is like the religious expert, and we're identifying that person as sinner. And the person that only identifies the other sinners does not know the blessing and live the blessing, and is not filled with the Spirit of God and the presence of God and saying right with God, and is exhilarated and thrilled with that thought. Because you're in disobedience. You're in disobedience. What am I saying when I refuse to forgive or to receive God's forgiveness? I'm saying that His word of truth is not relevant to my needs. Oversight on God's part, maybe. Lord, you just, my circumstances, and I have this in my background, or this person, you know, and I reached out to them, and I thought they were my friend, and they... Just oversight on God's part. He understands. Go ahead, hold your bitterness and resentment. God's not omnipotent, is He? God's not omniscient, is He? He's not all-wise and all-knowing, is He? He overlooked your circumstances, didn't He? Let go of it, friend. The blessing. There's that holding on to thoughts of vengeance and holding on to bitterness. It's nothing like drinking that cup of forgiveness and offering that cup of forgiveness. We're saying, I can't trust God. Can't trust God. God, do you know He doesn't ask us. He tells us to forgive. Do you know what you're saying, God? That person really hurt me. This isn't saying we keep ourselves in a situation where somebody keeps hurting, because it's not what it's talking about. It's talking about having things right before us and our God, and sometimes that's having it right before us and the people around us. And God tells us to forgive, and we're too afraid to do that. We won't trust God. I am saying that I cannot trust God. God either cannot protect me, or is incapable of protecting me, or just doesn't care. So which is it when you refuse to forgive, or when you refuse His forgiveness? And you say, Lord, how could you forgive this? Oh boy, I've been there. I quit asking, Lord, how can you forgive, because He told me He forgives. Now, I still might, in my human emotions, sometimes say, oh Lord, how could you? Oh Lord. But what I know is, He's planted firmly in my heart, what does He say? we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What do I say when I refuse to forgive or refuse to accept forgiveness? I'm saying that I'm different from other people, unique in that the same rules do not apply. My circumstances call for a different response. A little different, but kind of the same what we were talking about earlier. Oversight on God's part. I'm unique. This really hurts, and God will understand. You know what God understands? That you're a sinner, but you're not a repentant sinner. And like he would weep over those sinners who aren't repentant sinners, weeping as Christ wept over the city, just wishing that they would come in repentance before their Savior, before their King, before their Lord. I'm saying that God doesn't understand. Or maybe I'm saying that God doesn't know. But you know, all of these things, when we obey God and we forgive and I tell you what, it's we have all got these horrible wounds from somebody in the past that you don't even want to hear their name, and all the stuff is conjured up in your mind and all the emotions. But if we trust God with that, we trust God. See, here's one of the most important things in our walk with the God of the universe. Let him take care of us. We pray for his taking care of us. He provides homes. He provides groceries. He provides the car and gas for the car. Well, here's a big one. Let God heal your wounds. Let God heal your wounds. I don't guarantee things, but folks, God will amaze you if that wound that you just can't let go of, either you can't accept a forgiveness or you can't forgive someone, if you turn that over to God, if you obey Jesus Christ in that, he will amaze you. He will fill you with his abundance. This little petty corner that we live in, it'll start widening out to the universe that God created. We're going to close this morning. You've got in your sheet, and the words aren't very big, I know, but I think they're big enough, right in the middle. It's, "You are my King." We're going to sing it a cappella. "You are my King. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned." You see, all this Roman study, all these things that are going on, we have hard facts, word of truth, word of God, Holy Scripture. I think Fred Luskin says a lot of good things, but I don't need to listen to him. And I think Kenneth Cloke, I saw really a lot of good things on his website. But we've got something better, and even the Moon Fairy, she had some good things to say, but folks, Word of God tells us all we need to know and more about forgiveness and enjoying and living in the abundance, the exhilaration of right with God. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. So see, folks, this is why we had churches years ago and they went away from the payment of sin and Jesus on the cross. This is why you can't do this, because it's the linchpin of all the promises. Son of God coming to earth. Savior coming for sinners. Laying his life down because we were sinners. God raising him up so that we might be saved. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, Lord Jesus, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, do you? Do you know it's true? God's amazing love for you, this is... Turn this thing over to him. He'll show you his amazing love. amazing love. Not just words, not just kind of exalted language, but amazing love, exhilarating love, thrilling love, right with God. God loves me. God wants me to love him. Amazing love. It's my joy to honor you in all I do.